Hello and welcome. You're watching Tip TV Finance with me, Jenny Hammond and Zach Mir. So Zach, let's start off by talking about Sky, because you actually called this at the weekend, didn't you, and about share prices, and now we've seen what's happening with Fox. So.
Well, normally it's a kiss of death if you try and predict what stocks are going to go up over the next year, the year-end roundup or for the new year as well. But I wrote the article at 9 o'clock and at 12 o'clock, I think whenever it was, the US Open, there was a bid for Sky by 21st Century Fox. So it was fluky, but it was pleasing.
Oh, you're not going to just take credit for it then?
No, I think it's been waiting in the wings quite a long time. So it was, but it was something, I think, along with, say, Burberry as well. I think that's also going to be taken over, hopefully after Christmas. So we'll see how that goes as well.
Okay, Burberry is being taken over. It's not the Coach deal.
I think the Coach.
I thought that was off the table now.
But they're going to do what Home Retail did, and they'll wait to see how well they do after Christmas, and then they'll probably decide whether to revisit it or not.
Okay. Well, let's take a look at the slides. So the most popular in business and finance, the UK economy set for sluggish growth. The UK economy will avoid recession but lose momentum, says British Chamber of Commerce. And, of course, negative news from The Guardian there. And the Fed turns to Trump agenda with rate hike nearly in the bag. Fed fund features show a 97% probability that the Fed will lift rates by a quarter of a percentage point at the end of its two-day policy meeting on Wednesday, according to the CME Group, and that's according to Reuters. Thoughts?
Just suspicious on the 97% probability. I just can't quite see how Janet Yellen will play ball on that. She's boxed into a corner, so I think the Fed almost certainly do have to do it, but these percentage probabilities, they haven't been very good of late, either on Brexit or on Trump. So, it was basically wrong in June too, where it was over 80%. So maybe 90% plus is enough, but I think there's going to be a surprise with the Fed rate announcement, one way or the other way, even if it's just in their guidance as to what happens next.
Okay, next slide. So we're looking at Rightmove, and Rightmove's drops. UK house price rises slow. Data this morning from Rightmove show that the asking price for UK houses dropped by 2.1% in December, taking the annual rate up to 3.4% versus a 4.5% increase in November. London homes were hardest hit, especially in prime central London, with an overall fall of 4.3% and the biggest drop in many years, for an annual decline of 2.6%. Meanwhile, the Halifax reports that the total value of all UK homes adds up to £5.6 trillion, up 51% over the last decade, with the average price moving from £173,837 to £241,682. So I think the slump in London is very much down to the stamp duty rise, would you not say?
I'm delighted. All those smug elites in central London are suffering, or could be suffering.
Well, they're just not selling their houses or buying.
It was very interesting. I was walking through Primrose Hill, as one does on a Sunday, yesterday, and I saw all these for sale signs. I don't think I've seen any signs in that area, in that road that I know very well. It's where the engineer is. It's a lovely pub. And I haven't seen any signs of any kind there for, I think, maybe 2-3 years. I can't even remember. But yesterday, there was just a row of for sale signs there. And then one sold. Mm. And if you remember from the old days when the market was a proper market, you could always gauge by, you know, how quickly sold signs appeared and everything else. I mean, if you're the property expert, you should probably tell me. But there were just a lot of for sale signs in an area which is literally, there's not more than 50 houses there. So it's a really, really tight market. And Jude Law lives there. And it's very, very, you know, elitist. So I think that's something to watch, that it really is on, you know, all these surveys, I don't really have much credence, but actually on the ground, the old-fashioned way of looking at the boards in the street is quite useful.
Well, I'm not sure it's because of the London house price. I think it's more the fact that, you know, the economy is not doing so well and people are trying to sell, especially a lot of bankers now are looking, maybe they need to go abroad, so they're selling their houses. So maybe it's that. But I think it'll be interesting next year to see what happens to the property market. Obviously, a lot of landlords are getting rid of their buy-to-lets following the tax cuts, so... Yeah, a good time maybe to buy a house next year, Zach. So
yes.
There you go. Okay, so moving on to sentiments in the markets, what are you looking at there, Zach?
Well, I was noticing rather dollar yen at the bottom of the table last week and saying that, oh dear, retail clients are going bearish a bit. That means that there could be a new leg to the upside And that's what we got overnight. I think a yen and a yen and a half move to the upside. Also interesting that the Oanda clients here are long of the euro and sterling. That's a little bit of a red flag, I think, for both currencies as well. It could mean that euro is going to break 105 and the pound is at the top of its range currently. And then the car crash, which has been in place really since Trump was elected, is gold and silver, where it's just, you know, gold is it continues to fall heavily now towards $1,150. So that's what, nearly $200 off its intraday peak on November the 9th. So, but it seems that the trading public just cannot give up on gold. They can't believe that gold is not a buy.
Next slide. So we're looking at Antofagasta.
Right, this has been the play, which is the big copper proxy in the FTSE 100. It's a Chilean copper miner. You can see where basically Trump came in at the early part of last month. And a bit of a negative signal there. Not quite sure whether I believe it. I think that basically it's such a honeymoon period for Trump over the next, even until he gets into the White House January the 20th. I'm not sure how far this will come back. But there is a range trade there. Sell around £7.60, objective 700 pence, and stops above 788. So maybe there's a small trade for early this week on Antofagasta.
Okay, let's move on to the next one. So Paddy Power there again. That's making the news a lot.
I'm not quite sure the news that you saw on Paddy Power, but the betting community, either spread betting or otherwise, is looks like it's under the cosh with the machines, the gaming machines. I can't remember what they're called now, but the ones that you see in pubs and everywhere else. That's also under the cosh alongside the spread betting side of things. But I was really just wanted to remind everyone of how Paddy Power paid out $800,000 on a Clinton victory, even though there wasn't one. So that was great marketing for them. So I suppose in some ways, I mean, they don't actually mind losing the money. BP I picked out because of the overnight deal with the non-OPEC countries there, and BP has been it's been rather sluggish compared to the other oil majors, so maybe that's the one to buy if you think you missed the boat, let's say. And then Ashtead is a US infrastructure play, which is I think all the brokers are crazy about it at the moment. It's overweight at Barclays Capital, and I would agree with that particular rating as well.
Okay, super. I think that was our last slide. So, Zach, thank you. Coming up next, we have the Proactor Investor Share Video of the Day.